You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Todd McKim, a sideline reporter for the Cal Bears. How are you doing today, Todd?
I'm doing great. Just another beautiful day in Northern California.
Yeah, I imagine there are a lot of beautiful days in Northern California.
Yeah, there are.
Well, you know, Cal is undefeated right now. To start the season, you know, the media had them slotted to finish third in the North. You know, now it looks like it'll be between Stanford and Cal. What were the expectations coming into the season? And, you know, how, I mean, obviously I assume Cal fans are excited over what's happened up to this point.
Yeah, I think they have to be excited. I think when people looked at the schedule and looked at how it played out, they felt that the Bears needed to make some hay during the first five games because the competition level after the first five games was going to ratchet up considerably, and we'll see that the next couple of weeks with Utah, then a game at UCLA, host USC, and then go to Oregon. So a kind of a gauntlet beginning for the Bears this week. So they've played well. They haven't played great, to be honest with you. Offensively, they came into the season with extremely high expectations with a great quarterback in Jared Goff, good running back core, wide receiver core that's amongst the best in the league, if not the country. That question was the offensive line, probably still is. And defensively, it was like, man, can we be just a little bit better than we've been the last 2 years? And we have been. I mean, arguably, the last 2 years have been the worst defense in college football. But this year, they have been able to force 18 total turnovers. They lead the country in forced turnovers. They had 17 as a team all of last year. So I think it's been the turnover margin that has propelled the Bears to this 5-0 record as much as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that is a rather daunting amount of turnovers. I mean, Coach Whittingham, even in his press conference, has been praising Cal's ability to create turnovers. What is the defense doing differently that's creating so many more turnovers this season?
Well, they have the second year under defensive coordinator Art Kaufman, so that has helped. Last year, I mean, literally, they were plugging in walk-on wide receivers to play on the back end. That's how decimated they were with injuries and lack of depth. So I think it's been the health. I think the experience of the guys coming back, some of which were injured, some of which with the second year under the defensive system have a better idea of what their responsibilities are. And that's let them play a little bit faster than they did last year. I mean, when you're a player and you're just trying to learn a system, you have hesitation in your thought process. Once you've learned the system, know where you're supposed to be, recognize what the offense is trying to do, you can not think so much but react and play. And I think that's what's helped with the defense so far. So 10 interceptions, 8 fumble recoveries, and they've turned those 18 turnovers into 65 points. And that's been a big deal.
Yeah, that is a huge deal. I mean, I'm not, and I imagine my listeners aren't, extremely familiar with the Cal defense. Who would you say makes up the heart of that defense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you'd probably have to say one of the safeties, Stephon McClure. This is his fifth year. He's battled injuries throughout his career. He's healthy now. He's a very smart player. He was a great athlete in high school. And he's probably the ringleader along with inside linebacker Hardy Nickerson. They've played the most. Up front, Kyle Cragen, another fifth-year senior, has really come on this year. He missed all of last year with mononucleosis. He leads the team with 4 sacks, plays with a real high motor. So he's been the pass rusher. And a young man by the name of Looney, whose brother played for the 49ers until the end of training camp, transfer from Wake Forest, has probably been the best and most consistent defensive lineman, a quicker defensive tackle, and can get some push. So I would say those 4 guys are probably the ringleaders defensively.
Okay. Now, I mean, coming into the season, Utah fans, and I think it still remains true, but everyone's been expecting defenses to load the box and focus on stopping Devontae Booker. You know, after seeing the game on or hearing about the Oregon game, do you think that changes a little bit, or what do you expect Cal's schemes to kind of be in facing this Utah offense?
I think if you talk to 100 different defensive coordinators, most of them would probably say their first objective each and every game is to stop the run and try to make a team one-dimensional. Now, obviously, that's difficult. Not only is Booker proven in the past that he can run against eight-man lines. I mean, look what he did last year against Oregon State. I mean, they tried to stack the box, and he still ran for 220-plus yards. So I think that's usually the number one thought with defensive coordinators. Now, Utah this year, Travis Wilson's made tremendous improvement. Not only has he been able to throw the ball for a very high percentage rate, but he's been able to run the ball. He had 100 yards rushing against Oregon in that big victory at Austin Stadium. So Utah is multidimensional offensively now, and that is, without a doubt, a defensive coordinator's worst nightmare, knowing that not only if you stop the run, they can beat you with the pass, but if you try to stop the pass, they can beat you with a run. So it's kind of pick your poison this week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which poison they choose and if it ends up working out for them. Now, you know, we've talked about the defense. Let's talk about some offense here. We have, you know, at the beginning of the season, Utah was pushing Devontae Booker as a potential Heisman hopeful. You know, Cal's got their potential Heisman hopeful and Jared Goff. Who do you think will have a bigger impact on this game?
Well, that's a tough question to answer because I think both of them will have a huge impact. You know, Booker has shown the ability to control a game with his ability to run. He's the focal point offensively for Utah. They want to run the ball. They need to run the ball to have sustained success. And not only does it move the chains, but also it keeps Cal's offense off the field. Conversely, Jared Goff has shown the ability, despite being under duress the last couple of weeks from some pretty strong pass rushers of Washington and Washington State, tremendously accurate. I still don't think he's played, his best, the best game of his career. I don't think it's come this year. I mean, he's done a lot of really good things. He's got some great numbers, but I think the offense says you have to play its best game. So, boy, that's a tough one to pick which one. I think they both have circles with X's on them. I think both defensive coordinators are figuring, well, if I can stop this guy, we got a really good chance to win the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, how would you try to stop Jared Goff?
Well, I think you have to put pressure on him. I think if he sits back there, he is incredibly accurate. He's very intelligent, can read defenses. Utah has to find a way to put pressure on him. Typically, they like to do it with a four-man rush. They've been, you know, tremendous the last couple of years, just getting a pass rush with four guys up front. So if they can do that and drop seven in coverage, that gives them a much, much better chance to be effective against Jared Goff. But if he can sit back there and go through his progression of reads, then it becomes a different ballgame because he's got six or seven receivers that at any given time can make the big play. So I think pressure on Goff is the key for Utah defensively.
Okay. Well, you know, everyone's talking about Jared Goff and his accuracy, everything you've just talked about. And as I was going through the stats, I realized that one wide receiver had half of Cal's receiving touchdowns, and that's Kenny Lawler. What can you tell us about Lawler, and how is he being so effective to score those TDs?
First of all, he and Jared Goff have a very good rapport with each other. You know, they kind of just look at each other and know what the other one is going to do. Kenny Lawler's a bigger wide receiver as far as length is concerned. He's about 6'3". He can jump out of the gym, and he has got the biggest hands I've ever seen on a receiver. He can catch anything in the area code, and that's been his success, is he will make phenomenal plays that, you know, could be on the, you know, Sports Center on any given night. He can catch the ball with one hand as good as anybody. I mean, it looks like Odell Beckham. He's made a number of catches similar to that in his career. So a tremendous ability to play the ball in the air. Even though he might be covered, he can jump. He's got good size, phenomenal hands, and has just shown the ability to make the big play when the Bears need it.
Okay. I'm intrigued to see this wide receiver matchup. You know, Cal's got the number two pass offense in the Pac-12, and if anything was a weakness on this Utah defense, it would be their passing defense. So that should be a really interesting battle in my eyes. Another thing that's kind of coming to a head, I think, is there's a lot of talk here in Utah, at least, of how loud Rice-Eccles Stadium is and what kind of effect that will have on the game. And I see that, you know, Cal has the third fewest penalty yards in the Pac-12 right now. how do you think those things will work against each other, and do you expect the atmosphere at Rice Eccles to have any impact?
Well, I've been there before for games, and it will have an impact, a phenomenal home field advantage for the youth. I mean, they really make a lot of noise. Now, keep in mind, three, four weeks ago, the Bears played at Texas. They had 95,000 fans, so that was pretty raucous, too. I think what's happened, certainly in the spread offenses, you can't have a quarterback change the play at the line of scrimmage by yelling. It's just not going to happen. So teams have devised, you know, various systems, hand signals or whatever it happens to be, to change the play at the line of scrimmage. The other thing the Bears do is that the setter calls the signal. He's responsible for the snap. So when you watch the Bears line up offensively in the spread formation with Goff and the shotgun, usually it's the right guard, Jordan Rigsby, or left guard, excuse me, Jordan Rigsby, will look back at the quarterback. And so Jared Goff is surveying the defense. And when Goff is set and knows what the play he wants to run, then he kind of nods to the guard. The guard will then tap the center. And then it's the center's responsibility to snap the ball. He might snap it immediately. He might wait a count. They may tap and then hold and then reset the play by looking at the sideline. So without audio communication, that is Cal's way that they can try to reduce the effect of the crowd on what they're trying to do offensively.
Okay. You know, ultimately, this Pac-12 is looking pretty crazy down, at least in the South. We have ASU took down UCLA after getting a pretty good beating. And the other thing that's been crazy in the Pac-12 is the visiting team's astonishing winning record in the Pac-12. Do you think the Pac-12 is going to continue to be this crazy, for lack of a better word?
I think they're basically going to chew themselves apart. I don't think, although it remains to be seen, I don't know that we're going to get a team in the Final Four. It's going to be difficult, I suppose, at this point in time. Utah has a chance. They run the table, they're going to be in. Stanford, if they would run the table, might have a chance. But you think of Oregon traditionally has been at the top of the league. They're going to have a rough time with at least two losses. So I just think the balance in the league is good. I think there are a lot of tremendous coaches in the league. The programs, I mean, when you think, just think about Cal and Utah. At the end of the year, two seasons ago, those two teams were a combined 6-18. That's just 2 years ago. And now here we are coming into the game this week. You got two undefeated teams and they're both in the national rankings. I just think it's a really good league. The balance and the parity is outstanding. And I don't see it changing. Not only at the end, going to the end of this year, but in years to come. I just think it's going to be fun to watch for a fan. It'd probably be a nightmare for the coaches, but it certainly is going to be unpredictable from week to week.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing to see these two programs where they're at. And not only are they two undefeated teams matching up, but even ESPN Game Day is coming to town to feature the matchup. I know how Utah fans are reacting to it. How is everyone in the Cal area and the Cal fans reacting to the fact that they're going to be featured on ESPN Game Day as well?
Well, I think they're excited about it. I mean, it's been a while since the Bears have gotten this kind of positive recognition. They have been, kind of the laughingstock of the league, certainly 2 years ago when they went 1-11 and didn't win a Pac-12 game. So, this is good. I think, to be honest with you, Cal fans traditionally kind of hold their breaths at about this time every year, not knowing how it's going to play out down the stretch. Last year, the Bears were 4-1 to start the season and then collapsed after that. So I think they're excited about all the attention. It's been positive attention, which you always like to see, but I do think there's a collective holding of the breath from Bear Nation.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have to ask this, and I've had some people say they won't make predictions, but Utah's a 7-point favorite. Do you see the game being that close, and do you have a prediction for us?
You know, I could see this thing playing out a lot of different ways, Grant. I could see Utah with a big win if they get it rolling, especially with special teams. I could see Cal winning the game as well because of they've shown the ability to move the football against just about anybody the last couple of years. 7 points, I'm not big on the point spreads. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that stuff because that's money coming in from bettors on both sides, and I've seen point swings change dramatically during the course of the weeks. I just think it's going to be a really exciting I got a feeling it's going to be a higher scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if the score is, you know, maybe the winning team has to get to 30 or 31 to win the football game. I just think both offenses are going to have some success, and it is going to come down to field position and more than likely turnovers. Cal has been really good at that this year. Utah has been really good at that this year. They're 1-2 in the league in turnover margin. So I have no idea on the score, but I could see either team winning for a number of reasons.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on with us, Todd. One more final question. You know, this is the Torn by Sports lunch break, so I'm curious, do you have a favorite spot for lunch?
In Healdsburg, where I live, or in Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Yeah, no, where you live in Healdsburg.
We've got a place that we like to go to. It's called Chalkboard. It's in a high-end hotel, and they do small plates as far as their menu is concerned, so you can get, you know, a little bite of this, a little bite of that. And that's kind of the way I like to go these days, so you get more flavor and tastings. We're in the heart of wine country, so with a little glass of wine and some small bites, you can't beat it. You're going to come out and join us.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I will definitely keep it in mind. You know, I'm hoping to start getting on the road with this Utah Utes team and go visit some of these stadiums and check out the food. So thanks for coming on, Todd. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have a really exciting game to watch this Saturday.
I think we will, and good talking to you, Grant.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.